heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Yes. The Lord be with your spirit. That's my prayer. Because if Jesus Christ is with our spirit, and if we know that Jesus Christ is with our spirit, what more do we want? That is the sum of all happiness. It's just for us to open our spiritual eyes to know that God is with our spirit. Thank you for taking this time to be here in God's beautiful creation in this season of autumn, a season where things are changing, leaves are dropping on the ground. Soon winter is starting. There's a purpose for every season, in the same way a purpose for every season in our life. What season of your life are you in? I want to ask you a question today. Why do you think it's ingrained in us as human beings that whatever we do, especially on this earth, in this world, we expect a reward? We expect acknowledgement. We expect appreciation, thanks, recognition, or mostly material benefit. This brings us to a very dangerous trap. It's a trap that so many fall into, the trap of expectation. And this can cloud our journey through life. It means that so many times we compare ourselves to others. We fall into the trap of jealousy, envy, discontentment, frustration. We begin to look at ourselves and wonder, why don't we have what others have? We begin to count what we do and expect a reward. We begin to see life as transactional. And the biggest danger of all is when we take this approach to our spiritual life and measure our spiritual life, our spiritual growth, by material gain, by material possessions, by what we have. This is very dangerous. Do you know that the kingdom of God, as the Bible says in Romans 14, verse 17, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of peace, joy, love in the Holy Spirit? What does this mean? This means that the kingdom of God is not in the natural. The kingdom of God is within you. I want to take you to the words of Jesus today. Let's listen to what he has to say to us. And I pray that we listen with a hearing heart. Luke 17. Let's read from verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But he will not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Many times when we read the parables of Jesus, we can just breeze through and think, oh, that's interesting. What did Jesus mean by that? But if you take time to meditate on the words of Jesus, there's a hidden truth in every single word. There's a hidden truth in every single character. When I was meditating on this scripture, on this parable, I began to realize that so many of us today expect thanks, recognition, acceptance, reward for doing simply what we're commanded to do. We've forgotten the very principle of life, that we are servants of God. So what does it mean to be a servant of God? It means that we know our position. It means that we are grateful and understand that it's God that saved us first. It all begins with our relationship with Jesus. And that begins on how Jesus saved us. Everything must stem from that point. If we don't get that right, everything will be wrong. Our focus will be wrong. Our attitude will be wrong. Everything about our life will not be right if we don't first of all acknowledge our identity as servants of God. That means that if we know that we deserve nothing, we'll be grateful for anything. So let's take it back. What are we commanded to do as servants of God? Well, the Bible is very clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what's the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. So if we are to do this, why do we expect reward? Why do we expect earthly recognition? Why do we expect earthly praise? Why do we expect earthly thanks? It's something which is deep inside every human being. I believe you and I and all of us struggle with this temptation to begin to look for earthly reward, to begin to accept thanks. You see, Jesus taught us that we should love others and do good, not because we want to be appreciated by others, but because we love and obey our Father in heaven. It all comes from a sense of obeying God's commands. That means loving, serving without expectation. Now that's easier to say than do. Do you love without expectation? Do you serve without expectation? It's true the Bible says that we should do unto others that which we want them to do to us, but we should not expect them to treat us in the same way that we would like to treat them. Now that seems difficult, but it's true. We are even told that it's good. It's rewarding to do good to those who are ungrateful. Why? Because God then is our paymaster. We don't do things to be praised or to be noticed or to be recognized, but we do things because we love and obey God. I want to take it down to the reality of life. What's our motive? You see, to put it simply, Christianity lies in the heart, in the purity of the heart. That's why we're told in the book of Matthew 5, verse 8, that only the pure in heart will see God. What does it mean to have a pure heart? It means that you do things for God's sake. It means that the motivation of your heart should be for salvation of your soul. What is the motivation of our heart? It's time to check our hearts. The motive matters to Jesus. Jesus is concerned about the motive behind what we do. That's why he tests our hearts to reward us. What will the test of your heart reveal today? Remember, who marks our work? God himself. And he sees everything that's done. Whether hidden or open, he sees. And only he can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We shouldn't put ourselves as judge. We should know our position. Our position is servants of God. If that's our position, do we embrace servanthood? Remember, Jesus said, he who wants to be greatest must be servant of all. Are you embracing your position as a servant today? A servant of God. That means that if we actually obey what God has commanded us to do, we do it for God's sake. We don't do things because we expect others to help us in return. We don't do things because we want material benefit. We don't work for God because we want God to bless us. We don't look for material things. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that we should not pray for these material things, that our Father in heaven knows that we need them. He said we should seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be given unto us. But today, so often, we seek every other thing and expect the kingdom of God to follow. What's the motivation of our heart? Well, you might ask, okay, what's my reward then? What is my reward as a servant of God? Remember the parable. In all of that situation where the servant went out to the field, came back, waited on his master, was in the presence of his master, and then went to have his own food. That means the reward of a servant of God is relationship with his master, relationship with God. That should be our focus. That should be our motive. That means the only genuine reason for serving God is our desire to please him. The only genuine motive for serving God is our love for God, because that's the only thing that will stand the test of time. If you don't believe in something with your heart, crisis, disappointment will separate you from it. That means we have to believe God for salvation's sake, not because times are good, not because of what we receive from God, not because of what God blesses us with. We have to believe God for salvation's sake. That means we love him above all. So if our reward is relationship, that means that we should be looking to heaven. I want to tell you today about the inheritance of the saints. Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, when he prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their revelation would open, he also prayed for you and me as believers. The book of Ephesians 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's the prayer that Apostle Paul offered for the Ephesians. And that prayer is for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ. That the eyes of our faith, our spiritual revelation will open to see what God has in store for us as believers. That means that our reward is far more than any earthly thing you can imagine. Our reward is the inheritance of the saints. What is the inheritance of the saints? Eternity with Jesus. And it's not something you've earned with your work. It's not something you can prove that you deserve with your good deeds. It's not something you can count as your work, as your effort. No, It's purely by grace. We're saved by grace. That means we can't begin to say that it's because of me, it's because of what I've done. So what does it mean, the inheritance of the saints? Well, as soon as you believe, you become a possessor of the Father's nature. That means whether you've grown in with that grace, whether you understand it or not, it means that the righteousness of Jesus lives inside of you. That means we're no longer controlled by the power on the outside, but we're controlled by the spirit of righteousness within us. Yes, the Holy Spirit himself is the inheritance of the saints. If we desire that, if we long for that, truly, that will be our reward. But why do we then continue to look for earthly reward? Why do we then continue to look for earthly compensation, earthly benefit, when the Bible tells us that we should take our focus off these things and focus on the things above? And do you know that by doing that, actually, we become more of a blessing to everyone around us in this world? Because we know that we're just passing through. We know that we don't expect anything from anyone, but we give everything. Why? Because when we do it to others, we're doing it for God. That you do unto others, that you do to God. If you know that, then if you know that you're sowing into your heavenly bank account, because it's heavenly currency that counts with Jesus. You see, that's when he looks in our heart and sees, where's the currency there? That currency is faith in Jesus. Faith working by love. That's the heavenly currency. That's what Jesus is looking at. You see, we can only live a life pleasing to God when we do things for God's sake. And when we do things for God's sake, we don't expect an earthly reward. This is a different way of approaching life. We have to change the way we look at things. Because in this world, in this earthly natural world, we're so programmed to do everything for a reward, something that will benefit us. I must benefit from everything that comes my way. If I do good, it's because I want to receive more in return. If I bless others, it's because I want to receive more. I want to be blessed in return. How about doing good to the ungrateful? How about doing good to those that will never thank you? To even those who will spit in your face? To those who will lie against you and accuse you falsely? Well, that's what Jesus did, and Jesus is our master. Jesus is our savior. And if we're disciples of Jesus, we should understand the secret of servanthood. We're here not to please ourselves, but our Heavenly Father. And that is where true fulfillment comes. That is where true fulfillment lies. If our focus is on heaven, we begin to get closer to God. We'll do things for God's sake. But if our focus is only on money, a large slice of life will pass us by. If our focus is only on money, we'll serve God with our lips, not with our heart. For selfish gain. And if our motives are just focused on selfish interests, what happens? We're mortgaging tomorrow's joy. I mean, we're mortgaging tomorrow's future. We're mortgaging the inheritance that God has planned for us. Remember the case of Esau? He didn't value the inheritance that was given to him as the firstborn. He sold his birthright because he was hungry, because he was focused on the natural, because he didn't even acknowledge or value what was given to him. He gave it away cheaply. And no amount of tears or crying could reverse that decision. Do you value the inheritance of the saints, which is freely given to us? Do you value that? If truly you believe that you possess the spirit of Jesus Christ living within you, wow, what more than that? What more than that? I want to remind you of the warning that God gave to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy 8. When they were about to enter the promised land, after 40 years in the wilderness, after he'd rescued them from slavery in Egypt, and all those years, their shoes never wore out. He fed them with manna from heaven. He protected them day and night. He said, I'm about to give you the place of your dreams, houses that you've not built, land that you've not worked for, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, a land that is blossoming in abundance. Yet don't begin to think that it's because of your power, because of your might, because of your effort that brought those things into your life. Remember your God who rescued you from slavery, who brought you through the desert, who brought you through the wilderness. If you forget God, In the same way, God is warning all of us today. Don't think any blessing that you have is due to your own hard work. it's good to work hard. Anything we should do it with all our heart as working for God. But we should not expect a continued reward in this earth. Anything that comes is a blessing that God gives us, not because we deserve it, because we are servants of God, undeserving. That is what we need to remember. So don't think you should be celebrated because you're seeking God, because you're praying, because you're worshiping, because you're doing good. That's what we're commanded to do as Christians. That's what Jesus told us to do. And in following the words of Jesus, we're only doing what he told us to do. Why then should we expect a pat on the back? Well done. Yes, well done. When every day, do you know people are actually dying for their faith? Do you know that the apostles of old, what they suffered to bring the gospel to us? And yet here we have the word of life, which when we believe it with our heart, can bring us to the inheritance of the saints. You see, when Matthew left his tax booth, people didn't see why he did that. But when we read the book of Matthew and we see all that God did through his life, the great apostle Matthew, now we know the reason why he left that tax booth. And he abandoned everything to follow Jesus. Let people see the reason that you put God first in your life. They might not see the reason now. They might not understand now. They might not understand your decisions. They might not understand your principles. They might not understand your desire to put God first now. But your life will speak. And your life will speak long after you leave this earth. If you do things for God's sake, let that speak for you. That is what will last. Because when our natural life on this earth finishes, remember, it's the Spirit that goes to God. God who gave us the Spirit. That Spirit will return to God. Yes, life doesn't end when our natural life ends. That is what we need to understand as children of God. That is our glorious, wonderful, amazing inheritance of the saints as children of light. Do you treasure that? That is our reward as servants of God. Finally, I want to remind you of the words that Jesus spoke in the book of Mark, when people came to trick him in his words, asking him, "Should we pay our taxes to Caesar?" Jesus answered them, "Well, what face is on the coin?" Okay, Caesar's. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. With this answer to a trick question, Jesus has pierced every heart because he's telling us, give to God what belongs to God. So what belongs to God? The Bible tells us that God is the owner of every soul. Your heart, my heart, belongs to God. No matter the trial, no matter the temptation, no matter difficulty, no matter the pressure and tension, the fight for our attention every day, nothing should take our heart from God because our heart belongs to Jesus. So are we giving to God what belongs to God? Ask yourself that question, because many of us, like the Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 8, with our lips we honor Jesus, but our hearts are far from him. And it's our heart that Jesus is looking at. It's our heart, the motivation of our heart. Is your heart close to God? Have you given God your heart? Give to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God? Your heart. Give him your quality time. Give him the desire of your heart, because when you give God your heart, he will give you your heart's delight. But that is what I'm talking about. The desire of your heart has to be for God. It's not some kind of transaction that we give this amount of time to God and God will give us this. Have you noticed that when we're going through hard times, we begin to count what we do for God? We begin to say, God, but I do this for you. I'm a faithful Christian. I pay my tithe. I go to church. I've worked so many hours in your service. We begin to count what we do for God, instead of remembering and thanking and praising him for what he's done for us. Do you remember the case of King Hezekiah in the Bible? He started well. He obeyed God's law. He put things right. He honored God. And even the prayer that he prayed at the beginning, you will see, he was praising God. It was all about God, everything that God had done for his people. Yet later on, when he stumbled, when he fell into temptation, and he was praying for God to continue his life, he started recounting all the things he'd done for God. Don't fall into that trap. Let God be your focus, not yourself. God knows what we need. My brothers, my sisters, don't fall into the trap of measuring your spiritual growth or your relationship with God by the things that you have on the outside. This is directly opposite to the command of Jesus. Jesus said we should go into our room and we should pray so no one sees us, but our Father in heaven sees us. We should do things for God's sake, not to be seen on the street corners, not to be applauded, not to be celebrated. Let God bring you to a place of honor. Don't bring yourself to a place of honor. Humble yourself. God will lift you up in His time and His way. That is what it means to be a servant. Are you embracing servanthood? Are you happy to be a servant of God? Because that's the best place to be. Because we're under the best master ever. He created the world with one word. He can transform your situation around. He looks from heaven and laughs at kings on their thrones that think they know what they're doing. God is in control, and that is our master. That is who is giving us instruction, and His word will not fail. So today, enjoy your status, your identity, your role as a servant of God. And remember, your inheritance is waiting for you. Don't begin to count earthly things as your reward. Anything we receive on this earth is a blessing. Why does God bless us? So we can bless more people around us. So God can use us more, but don't focus on those blessings. Focus on the giver of those blessings. You see, God gives us power to get wealth. God is more than money. God is more than possessions. When you're favored, everything about you is favored. You see, the favor of God rests on someone. It doesn't rest on something. Joseph was favored. That means everywhere he went, favor followed him. When he entered the house of Potiphar, everything about Potiphar's house was favored. In the same way, when he served in the court of Pharaoh blossomed because the favor of God was on him. What of Daniel? Everything about Daniel succeeded. People marveled at the wisdom that came from his mouth. They said, surely this man, God is with him. In the same way, seek God. Seek God for God's sake. That means favor and blessing will follow you, not because you're seeking it, not because you want it, not because that's what you're focused on, but because the Spirit of God is with you. And anything that happens to you as a Christian, God is aware, in hard times and in good times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Does that mean when things are hard, when things are difficult, we say we're no longer servants of God? We say we don't like our servanthood when times are tough? No. Remember, keep your eyes on your heavenly goal. Don't be so focused on this earth because we're just passing through. And don't ever fall into the trap of setting your expectations so high because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. So today, say with me, say in your heart, Lord Jesus, help me to love without expectation. Lord Jesus, help me to serve without expectation. Lord Jesus, help me to do good without expectation. Do you mean that prayer with your heart? If you do, then truly, the Spirit of God is with you right now in your heart. Are you a servant of God? Say, yes, I'm a servant of God, and I have the inheritance of the saints as my reward. Anything I receive from God, it's a blessing, but I'm not looking for that. I'm not focused on that. As you apply these principles to your life, you will see your perspective will change. The attitude of your heart will change. Your joy will be permanent because it won't be based on the things around you. It will be based on your faith in Jesus. Even when there's nothing to be happy about on the outside, you can say, yes, I have faith in God. Yes, Jesus is with me. So my brothers, my sisters, stop looking for reward from man. Stop looking for someone to shake your hand and say thank you. When you do good, don't even let the other person know you're the one that did it. That's what the Bible tells us. Do it for God's sake. And if you're truly doing it for God's sake, you're doing it for God's reward, not man's reward. Because nothing can be compared to the reward of God. God bless you.